So, Dr. Nagel, we were going to talk about the upcoming NFL season, but I definitely wanted us to talk about college basketball as well. So could you give us a little bit of something that you might want us to be paying attention to within that upcoming NFL season, and then walk us right into college basketball? Because as you mentioned, March Madness is right around the corner.
Well, I think the big thing with the NFL that's always amazing is how much people pay attention to it, even in the offseason. And so we've already seen a number of articles and radio spots and just the attention that the NFL has on the American public, even now as we're in the, you know, a couple weeks out of the Super Bowl. The NFL draft is coming up quickly, and if you look and see how much people pay attention to the NFL draft, it's really amazing that the NFL draft, which is essentially teams calling into the league office and saying, this is the player we're going to pick. In some cases, the lead up to that draft and the draft itself draws not only higher ratings, but much higher ratings than other sports content, baseball games, basketball games. And so in many cases, the NFL has, the American public is more concerned with who are the Chargers, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Broncos, who are they going to pick in a draft than what happens in an NBA game where there's actually players playing against each other. It's an amazing,
amazing grip that
the NFL has on American society throughout the year, not just during the season.
So for the most part then, in America, football is the game?
I would, as a consumption sport, absolutely. I think football as a participant sport has been going down a little bit as more and more people are concerned about concussions and those things among kids. But, you know, there's certainly a lot of kids that want to play football. And there's, as a consumption sport, I think people love football in the United States. And they love the NFL. And they love the NFL to such an extent that the off season in many ways doesn't stop. It's, you know, you go on to ESPN right now, or you go on to Fox Sports, or you go on any major sport website, and everybody's got pre-draft projections and who's going to do this and who's going to be picked and is someone going to drop or is someone going to rise. And you really think about it, and it's like you're just talking about who we're going to employ next year, and you don't even know if they're going to be any good or not. And yet millions of people will watch the NFL draft, and millions of people will watch, you know, get on the various sport websites the day of the draft and the day after the draft to look at the reviews that pundits have regarding who did a good job and who did a bad job. It's an amazing phenomenon.
Amazing. But yet we do still have other sports, as you mentioned, and one of them being basketball. And you were sharing with me a little bit earlier that we do have some pretty exciting stuff happening in college basketball.
Well, I think college basketball is always exciting because you have so many teams and there's so many storylines, and we're right at the, you know, we're kind of at the last part of the lull of college basketball. You know, we were going into the last week and a half of regular season play, and I think kind of when that calendar turns to March, college basketball takes over, and you're going to see in a week and a half a lot of the conference tournaments are going to start for both men's and women's. And then after that, obviously, we go into the NCAA tournament, you know, or the greatest, you know, gambling or quasi-gambling American extravaganza when everyone fills out their brackets. So it's always exciting in college basketball. I think here in South Carolina, Clemson's men have been playing well. The USC women have been playing well. You know, I don't think the USC men are going to have the, you know, they're not probably not going to be in the Final Four this year. So that's kind of a disappointment. But there's a lot of interesting storylines, particularly among some of the smaller schools, because I think the greatest thing about the college basketball tournament is that if you win your conference tournament, you get to participate. There's not a, you know, poll average or voting team or a special committee that says you're in or out. If you win your conference tournament, then you get a spot in the NCAA tournament. And I think that creates such a wonderful opportunity for Wofford and Winthrop and all these other schools that don't necessarily get national attention. You don't have to worry about impressing someone like in college football where, oh, am I going to be in the top four and do I jockey for this? You go out and take care of business in your conference tournament, you are going to be in the NCAA tournament. I think that makes for a wonderful narrative and a wonderful consumption sport for people to watch, because every little guy, every David out there has a chance to possibly get into the tournament and then slay Goliath.
And so does that, when we do see the the Davids slaying the Goliaths, does that suggest or does it clearly indicate that there really is some high quality playing taking place at these smaller schools?
Well, I think the last 10 years of men's basketball, the depth of talent has become extraordinary. The ability of the American population to turn out great basketball players and good basketball players continues to grow. And I think there's a second part to that, which is the one-and-done phenomenon has certainly enabled some of the big schools to get the best players. But a lot of times what happens is the best player goes to Kentucky or Duke or wherever else and plays for a year, and then they leave. And so those programs are reshuffling the deck every year. And so you can see some really good players that maybe aren't quite at the NFL level, but they play college basketball for 2, 3, 4 years. If they're part of a good team that's very experienced, and you get into an NCAA tournament format, which is one game and out, you know, that's all you need is one night, and Cinderella can go to the ball, so to speak. And we saw that, you know, with a number of different schools over the last couple of years. Duke lost a couple of years ago as a two seed. Michigan State lost as a two seed. So it's really the depth of talent in the men's game has never been stronger. And I think the women's talent has become stronger too. We're not quite there at the same level of the number of quality women's basketball players has not permeated at the same way that the men's has. But the women's basketball tournament is much, much more exciting now than it was 10 years ago. There's so many more young ladies playing basketball at a high level, and there's more upsets in the women's tournament. So that's become even more exciting as well.
I tell you what, and a lot of times, I probably shouldn't say this, but a lot of times I do find college basketball in general, but the ladies' college basketball in particular, more exciting than the NBA games.
I think what happens, and part of that excitement might come from the fact that the NBA plays so many games, and until you get to the playoffs in the NBA, guys are sitting out, guys are resting. The individual game in the NBA among 82 games may not be that important until you get to the playoffs. And women's college basketball, as well as men's college basketball, you know, they're only playing 30 some odd games, and every game really, really has a huge significance on their season. And then certainly, obviously, when you get into the tournament and it's one and done, then the pressure really rises. So, you know, I think a lot of other Americans have expressed that same opinion about the NBA regular season isn't as compelling as what might be going on in college basketball for the regular season.
So how does it look? I know a few years ago, you and I were talking about some of the rights that some of the college basketball players were asking for, demanding, whichever word person wants to use. How is that looking now?
Well, I think we've hit a little bit of a lull. Some of the significant legislation, the O'Bannon case where he was suing the NCAA for misappropriating his name, image, and likeness.
Yes.
You know, that case was basically settled with a victory for O'Bannon, but a limited victory for him. I think the big case that's out there is there's a case called Jenkins v. NCAA, where essentially a group of players are suing the NCAA and saying there should be no caps on compensation, that a great basketball player at the University of South Carolina should be able to make $50,000 or $20,000 or whatever the market were there. So that case is slowly but surely moving towards an actual court date and moving towards actually being in the, you know, more in the public consciousness. So at the moment, it's kind of a quiet time right now in college athletes' rights, but that's going to heat up here. I think next year is going to be a really, really interesting year as the Jenkins case comes back around and moves closer to, you know, being live, so to speak, and some of these other things that are a little bit slow right now are going to heat up as well in the next year, but not so much in the immediate horizon.
It is something worth keeping our ears and eyes open to. And Dr. Nagel, I appreciate you for again talking sports with us and really, really keeping it exciting, but also informative so that we just have a better understanding of what's really happening with these games we love so much.
Well, it was enjoyable being on the show. Thank you again for having me.
Quite welcome. Stay with me, everyone. I'll be right back.